My name's Christina Nicoli. I started coming to Northside Baptist Church on the 4th of June 2017 after my nephew visited for the first time. He knew I was searching for a faithful, active and prayerful church where I could serve the Lord. This city of churches certainly has a lot of options, but knowing what was out there, I was not willing to compromise. The sermon that Sunday was titled Staircase to Hell, and I recall thanking Pastor Simeon for preaching the Word of God. As I continued to attend, I realized I was starving for biblical truth, and I looked forward to each sermon. It was like I had never heard the gospel before, and there was a revival in my soul. Since then, I have grown spiritually and enjoyed the fellowship with everyone. I felt like I was already part of the church, but on Wednesday, 6th of December, I asked Pastor Simeon about becoming a member. The pastor kindly gave me some information about the process, but he was more interested in my testimony. I told him about my Christian heritage in the Pentecostal church, the inspirational walk of my mother and my grandmother, my later years in the Baptist church, the events that led to my baptism at 19 and my salvation at 29. When the pastor asked if I was saved before I got baptized, I found myself confused. I knew that I had to be saved before I got baptized, but all I remember with clarity was a miraculous breakthrough that made me want to get baptized. Pastor Simeon made a wise comment that God does many wonderful things for us, but that is God being God. Salvation, however, is a choice we make after realizing we are sinners and acknowledging we need Christ in our lives. The fact that I could not confirm my salvation at 19 meant the baptism was uncertain as well. We discussed what happened at 29, and while I was more confident about that precious day, I questioned if it was a prodigal's return or the first time I got saved. Pastor Simeon could see I was burdened by my confusion and I didn't want to leave church that night without being sure of my salvation. So I prayed a salvation prayer, asking God to save me if I wasn't. Once I went through the salvation prayer, Pastor Simeon encouraged me to seek clarity from the Lord and write down my testimony. I was reassured that it was not a test or an attempt to cause more doubt, but rather an opportunity to be certain, because that was far more important than a church membership. Well, not the ideal outcome at the time, I'm so grateful the pastor directed me to clarify my salvation because now I am profoundly certain. Shortly after my conversation with Pastor Simeon, I realized I had no more doubt about my salvation, and the assurance was a great comfort as I began seeking God for clarity. Talking about my family has always been easy, but talking about myself has always been hard. My testimony involves someone I love very much, but it wasn't always like that. Due to the way I feel for this person today and not wanting to be a stumbling block in their journey to salvation, I have decided to be discreet for their sake. I was born in Timișoara, Romania, during the height of communism. My Christian parents escaped Romania and made it all the way to Sydney, Australia, as refugees. An Australian Pentecostal church sponsored my parents out of the refugee camp, and within a couple of years, we were reunited as a family. We bounced between the Australian and Romanian Pentecostal Church during our time in Sydney. Both churches believed in the gift of tongues as a sign of salvation, but the delivery of the doctrine was very different. One spoke of a loving Father that saves, while the Romanian church was legalistic and preached a vengeful God who enjoyed sending humans to the lake of fire. Due to this, I was confused and had a mixed attitude toward the true nature of God and his relevance in my life. I was a child at the time and I thought I had plenty of time to consider God. This is one of my biggest regrets from my childhood because at the age of 8, I witnessed an act of violence that greatly affected me. All of a sudden, I needed God. I gravitated towards the loving Father, but I was afraid the change in situation was some punishment from the vengeful God. I could not comprehend what was happening. I knew what I was seeing was wrong, but I also loved this person, so I made excuses for the change in their behavior. The abuse continued sporadically over the next 5 years. We moved from Sydney to Adelaide when I was 13, just before we entered Mildura, we had a major car accident. My youngest brother, Benjamin, was 2.5 years old when he died. Two of my sisters were flown to Adelaide with life-threatening injuries, but thankfully both survived. My father was badly injured and could not return to work. My mother was also 5 months pregnant with her 11th child. As you can imagine, almost everything in my family changed that day. About a year later, the abuse returned and became worse. After all we had been through, I couldn't stand it anymore, and I threw myself in front of my family as a shield to protect them. I became a human punching bag, so to cope with all the physical and verbal abuse, I shut down and forced myself to be strong. Inevitably, this coping mechanism led to a heart of stone and a life of masks. I want to make a comment here that being a victim does not make me righteous or without sin. There are many warnings throughout the Bible about the abuse of power. However, despite my circumstances, I was still accountable for my own actions. In fact, labelling myself a victim caused me to grow a spirit of entitlement. Entitlement was a false sense of security that I could react without penalty or accountability. But Romans 3:23 confirms, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so we are instructed to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. During those years, I was desperate for an escape. And while I pursued education as a way out, I also hoped salvation would change my situation, even though I was still unsure about the need for God in my life. Being in the Pentecostal church, I prayed for the gift of speaking in tongues. The search was flawed because most of the time I went to God with an agnostic heart. I also tried to do everything right, but works didn't get me there either. Every time I left church without the gift, I believed I was condemned to hell. At 15, our father started taking us to the Romanian Baptist Church in Mile End. There I learned a more biblical teaching of salvation, but being so indoctrinated in the Pentecostal church, I refused to believe it was that simple, so I criticized Baptists internally. The pastor later designed a course for youth titled Authentic Christians, which helped me understand a biblical salvation. By the time I had this new understanding, however, I was dealing with a lot of inner rage. For about 2 years, I lived in a world of dark thoughts, which terrified me. I hated them because I knew they were wrong, but at the same time, I loved them because it made me believe I had some form of power over the abuser. It became a sick cycle. My prayers faded into a desperate plea, and all I could master was, "Help me, help me, help me." I had no idea if God was listening to me, but I couldn't say anything else. Just after I turned 19, God, in his infinite mercy, took the dark thoughts away. I can still remember the wonder and relief. A burden was lifted off my shoulders, and I knew without doubt that God had performed a miracle. The following Sunday, I asked my pastor to be baptized. He had no knowledge of my battles, but he commented that I looked different. Not yet seeing a biblical salvation, I confused his comments as a visible transformation, which was typical of a Pentecostal salvation. When preparing for the baptism, salvation was addressed, but I do not recall a moment where I asked Jesus to come into my life as Lord and Saviour. I realise now that I falsely assumed the miracle was God's acceptance of me and that it covered salvation, but that was a major error because I still didn't know God and he was still some distant figure. Maybe I had good intentions, but there is no substitute for salvation, not even a miracle. Things at home didn't get any better, and when I told someone at church, they reacted as though they didn't want to know, and it convinced me that no one really cared. I started seeing hypocrisy in the church. Praying yielded no comfort, and reading the Bible was hard because it seemed to contradict itself. I found it hard to apply its teachings to my life and had no confidence in its direction. I was not mature in Christ, so when offences came, they affected me. I became jaded and spiraled away from the Lord over the course of a year, and it didn't help that I was at university. Friends that I made there were concerned about me. I was shocked that non-Christian people could be so caring in light of what I experienced at the church. In that academic setting full of leftist propaganda, I moved out of home and eventually stopped going to church. Away from the direct influence of my praying mother, faithful grandmother, and church, I allowed worldly philosophies to become my doctrine, and the fruit of entitlement started to appear. I considered my journey in the Christian world and saw myself as an impoverished girl who tried to please God and her family, but constantly failed. My persistent drive for approval shaped me into a perfectionist that led me to set my own expectations for living. I saw my sins as the result of someone else's sins and that my choices were forced upon me because of the long-term abuse I had suffered. I wondered why God would bother with a miracle if he continued to distance himself from me. If anything, it only pushed me further into the world of independence. In comparison to the religious institute, I concluded my own standards were better. So my heart hardened towards God and softened towards the world. In the following 6 years away from church, I built my career and refused to acknowledge the void in my life that eventually led to depression and suicidal thoughts. When I was 27, I returned home for a few months. I recall one day going into my room after work and I found my mother's kneeling pillow beside my bed, which she used for praying. I remember feeling annoyed that she was wasting her prayers on me. I had no idea how many times she visited my room, but I started finding that pillow more often. Despite my initial reaction, that prayer pillow began a work of conviction in my life. I found myself sitting beside her puddle of tears for comfort, and sometimes I knelt on that pillow and added my own tears. I realized I had spent the last 7 years trying to run away from God. I pulled out the Bible from under the bed and it opened to Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The spirit of entitlement made me reject the rebuke. I was convinced that the abuser had to repent first, so I challenged God. But God, in his infinite wisdom, turned the thought back on me. He reminded me that the miracle in my own life had not inspired salvation. So what credibility did I have in front of God to confirm I would seek salvation once he performed this next miracle? The deep conviction frightened me, so with fear and trembling, I began working through the stereotypes I had of God. I started praying again after so many years, and the closer I inched towards God, the more I was humbled by his righteousness. I saw my life as a dirty rag full of arrogance, bitterness, shallowness, rebellion, pride, and many other sins. In January 2011, I drove home after a long day at work, tired and emotionally drained, thinking about God. I felt my desperation as a sinner and cried out from the depth of my heart, God, where did you go? I heard a clear voice respond, but I did not go anywhere. My spirit recognized that voice belonged to God, and it talked directly to my heart. I cried for the first time in a long time, and when I got home, I confessed every sin and laid them at Jesus' feet. I believed he was the only way, truth, and life, and that Jesus died to save me. I pleaded for his mercy and to clean me out so that he could be the Lord and Savior of my life. Instantly, I felt something change. The next day, I told my mother about my decision, who rejoiced with me, and we prayed together. This time around, when storms came, I had an anchor in Christ who sustained me. Since that day of salvation, I felt God working on many things in my life, but it wasn't until I started coming to Northside Baptist Church that I really understood or appreciated God's methods. I came to appreciate that salvation encompasses all other mercies, and the healing process is richly beneficial for our walk with Christ. It was also this opportunity to look back that made me see I got baptized before I got saved. So on the 9th of September 2018, I got baptized biblically. Through the act of repentance, I was able to love the person who hurt me and stop referring to them as an abuser. I started praying for them, which wasn't easy at first, but from the perspective of the cross and through the lens of salvation, I was able to view them with compassion. I ache for them to this day and continue to pray for their salvation. Most amazingly, God used this person to return my heart to flesh. In conclusion, my testimony can be summed up with a hymn. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Thank you.